What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another evening of Jay Bird Watch. I am your host, Craig Borden. I am here with the usual gang, all back together again. I am here with Ken Alfred, Jason Lyons. Fellas, how are we talking this evening?
We are doing good. I think we're doing all right. I can't speak for Jason, but, glad to be back as always. And it's getting still pretty dark out here. So hopefully the sunlight will start hitting around 7 o'clock in the Toronto time zone.
And I mean, things are going well here. I survived my fat guy hockey tournament this weekend, just barely. And I will say this, the Ice Weasels prevailed. We did win the tournament, which is pretty sweet. The average age of our team is probably 57, and we were in a 19 and over open division. So playing to get some young bucks, and our sorry old butts can still drag it around the ice good enough to win the tournament. So thanks to the Tubbers over in Nanaimo, it's a hell of a tournament. And as you guys can maybe see, I mean, it's sunny. I feel like I'm in Palm Springs.
Vancouverans right now. Getting a couple extra hours on us.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff. So on that, that's a A+ hockey name that you got there for your team.
Ice Weasels. It's good.
So, Ice Weasels. Yeah, that's pretty good. We used to be Frozen Nuts for a little while. Puckheads. That was another one. Listen. Oh, got you in the five hole. That was one.
Yeah.
So, wow. There's some fun you can have with names and goofing around like that. It's always fun to have. It's like minor league baseball, right? You get to have some fun with a team name.
Yeah, for sure. Like fantasy football cool team names.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many good ones. Mine, my very successful fantasy football team is named the Jerry Rice Bulls, which is one of my favorites. Really,
you guys are just so creative with these names, man. Wow.
That's a good one. It's about comedy, Ken. You know, you had the wrestling background. Jason and I apparently were like hitting the head too many times or dropped one
of
the other.
There's no doubt about that.
So, fantasy football names. Mine was Mike Ditka's bigger than your Ditka. That was mine.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, Craig, I know we didn't, discuss this off, but I did want to bring up, you know, the extremely tragic passing of Carl Weathers. I don't know if you guys know or not, but Carl Weathers was a linebacker here for the BC Lions for a number of years. Most of the movies that he filmed were filmed here. He lived a lot of his life here in Vancouver, and pretty sad. I mean, he's supposed to be involved in that thing with the Gronk kick of destiny and, you know,
yeah, I saw the commercials for that.
That's right.
But very sad. And I mean, it molded so much of my youth with Rocky and then into Happy Gilmore. And now, you know, that affects my kids. Yeah, Chubbs Peterson, one of the greatest. So yeah,
then that's honestly other than the Star Wars references that he gets from his, you know, current employer as far as Disney and Star Wars and whatnot. I thought that was perfectly fitting the other day when everybody was putting out stuff about his, you know, death and everything like that, that they were showing him in as Chubbs in heaven in his happy place.
Yeah.
Yes, from Happy Gilmore. Perfect.
Oh, good.
So good stuff. So what's the sweater you're putting on there, guy?
Ice weasels, baby.
Ice weasels. Love it.
So that's good stuff. So as all shenanigans aside and everything, we're going to talk about some shenanigans that, you know, are keeping certain Blue Jays out of the Baseball Hall of Fame this evening, along with talking about, we haven't actually talked about baseball news as far as the Baseball Hall of Fame this evening. We're going to do that. So we're going to make sure we have a little bit of fun in baseball in general in this theoretical Blue Jay fandom this evening. So Blue Jays fans, I see you already coming into the chat. Please join this conversation. Hit us up in the chat window. Drop your 2 cents in. But first, let's start with the fact that the, you know, current ballot is done. There are 3 brand new Hall of Famers, and I can't say enough good things about all of these guys that made the Baseball Hall of Fame and, you know, got the 75% of the votes that they needed to be able to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. First time Hall or ballot guys, period. Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton was actually the only holdover, his 6th time on the ballot. And Joe Mauer. So those 3 guys are going to be enshrined in Cooperstown this summer. And like I said, if you talk about baseball and the guys that can go in and out of the Hall of Fame, those are the 3 class act level guys that would be checking every box for a Baseball Hall of Famer.
100%.
I mean, you're one of those characters.
You've got so many guys that you know, have sort of questioned, you know, so many questions, and guys that probably should be in the Hall. But when you look at those 3 on whole, I don't think there's a single, single thing you can say bad about any of them. I mean, that we know of. I mean, Beltre, loved by everybody. I mean, league wide loved by everybody. You know, Joe Mauer.
Don't touch his head.
Yeah, don't touch his. Well, I think that got to be something real. Like, I mean, God, I love that so much. And Joe Mauer, just, you know, just an amazing guy from all, you know, and when a guy like Justin Morneau just sings your praises, then you know you got to be a pretty good dude. But yeah, I mean, a good class. Nice to see, you know, the 3 get in, and it's good for baseball when the good guys make it in without any, no questions, no, you know, no what ifs, no whys, that kind of stuff.
Yep. So, Ken, do you have anything that you particularly liked watching about any of those 3 guys? They're obviously big baseball names at this point, and Beltre being the biggest goofball out of all, but go right ahead.
I like goofballs. Beltre's A in my books, but yeah, like, congratulations to all 3, like, all of them, like you said, all studs that made it to the Hall of Fame. That's great. I mean, I always wanted to know, so for the yearly ballots and stuff, how many, is it only 3 at a time that they bring in, or just depends on of the pool of players that are eligible? Once you hit 75% of the vote, is that what you said, then you get in? Is that right?
So out of all the baseball writers are the ones that do the voting, which I would point to that might be part of the contention on who makes the Hall of Fame or not, because there's just as many reasons that they get it right as they do get it wrong. It's because writers hold grudges. So there might be something, oh, you missed my interview one day, and then he just didn't vote him in. Or whatever it might be. I would say they get it right most of the time, but I always wondered why there wasn't more player vote. And that's where we'll get to in a little bit when we talk about Blue Jays guys that should be in. We'll talk about the other ways to get elected to the National Baseball Hall of Fame in that segment. But the verbatim way to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame is out of however many votes are cast, and each baseball writer gets 10 votes. They're allowed to check 10 boxes out of the 26 boxes that were on the ballot this year. So catches, they all don't put 10 people in.
Right.
So out of all those votes that are whatever the total amount of votes are that are cast, if you're one of the players that has 75% of any of the number chunks to that, they just, you get in. So
yeah. And it's like you were saying, Craig, there's a lot of contention with East Coast, West Coast. I mean, you know, unless you're a superstar, you don't get seen on the West, certainly not as much. You know, it's interesting because I find it, you know, it's a little less in baseball because there isn't a predominance of teams that are sort of not in that Eastern time zone. But there certainly are guys that get missed, get looked over, and get, you know, sort of they're like, oh, like Julio Rodriguez is one of those guys that just kind of came out of nowhere, even though he had been on the Mariners for a little bit. And we knew, like out here, we knew he was destroying it. And all of a sudden, you know, New York is like, whoa, what's this kid doing over here? So then they start reporting on it, you know, then it's, you know, it starts to make the Eastern publications. And that's, I mean, it is what it is for the most part. I listened to a couple of baseball writers talk about who they voted for and why this year, a little while ago. And Craig, you're so accurate with the fact that some of these guys hold grudges and some of these guys have the smallest, pettiest of things against some of these players, and it can keep a guy out of the Hall. I mean, I know it's the ultimate, you know, the ultimate crowning is the Hall. I feel like it kind of gets to the point sometimes where there's enough guys that shouldn't be in there that are in there and enough guys that aren't in there that should be there where you're kind of like, okay, well, why don't we make a secondary Hall or, you know, for whatever you want to call it. You know, you can do anything. In fact, you can do it with all the mixed sports for all the people that don't get in and just give them at least their kudos for, like, Pete Rose should be in the Hall. It's an unarguable fact. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall. Unarguable. They're not. So Clements in, you know.
And there's where the quote-unquote catch is. Because
right,
those three are in the Baseball Hall of Fame. They're just not enshrined in the shrine, the, you know, the room with all the plaques. They don't have an official, they're 100% a part of the Hall of Fame. But like Pete Rose's 4,000th hit bat is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. There's things for Barry Bonds and so on. I've been there many a times, like being here in New York. So that's the nice perk. You two got to come and join me sometime. So on that note, like I said, it's not that their story isn't there. They aren't guaranteed to be enshrined with all the other baseball immortals in the actual room that is the Hall of, you know, baseball players, basically. So, and I agree with you. I would say there's certain people that should be in. I don't see why in the world that we live in where Alex Rodriguez is allowed to still be a baseball announcer after getting caught cheating so many damn times, that with baseball legalizing gambling on every level, that Pete Rose isn't in Cooperstown.
And let's just get this straight, Craig. And I am sure there are people that will agree with all of us on this. Gambling in sports now has gotten to such a ridiculous level. And I mean, we all know that they were doing it. We all know that every professional athlete basically probably gambles at some level, be it poker. I mean, they play poker on the plane for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Is that not? I mean, I know it's
just pointing the Michael Jordan documentary
Last Dance. Yeah.
Now you've got like every second commercial when the NFL is on is MGM, you know, bet MGM. They've got Connor McDavid doing them. They've got, you know, Wayne Gretzky's on them.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx.
There's no end of people that they're trying to get you to just flip you upside down and get every dime out of your pocket. I mean, Pete Rose made a couple of bad calls, you know, betting when was frowned upon. I mean, come on. Ridiculous.
Statute of limitations at this point, isn't it?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to this year's actual Hall of Fame ballot. Like I said, I told you the three gentlemen that are actually going to be, you know, like I said, at the ceremonies and getting enshrined this year. There is a kind of a crazy group that is no longer eligible because, Ken, to your point, 75% gets you enshrined, but you have to actually keep above 5%. To just stay on the ballot for one more year. So there is some really good names, including a monster Blue Jay is on this list of guys that are no longer currently eligible on the normal ballot anyway, so that they would normally get 10 years of trying to get on the Hall of Fame ballot. And here we are, that we are no longer going to have Victor Martinez, Jose Bautista, Bartolo Colon, Matt Holliday, Adrian Gonzalez, Brandon Phillips, Jose Reyes, or James Shields. Yes, there were some guys that probably didn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame out of that category. But you're talking, I look at Victor Martinez for the area that he played in Major League Baseball, he was one of the most feared hitters in Major League Baseball in that window. Same exact story as Jose Bautista. If you look at the 2010s to, you know, basically when we were in the playoffs there, there was no better hitter, home run style hitter than Jose Bautista in that short peak of his career. So there was those arguments too. And we're going to get into further ones, but just looking at this ballot specifically, I just think it's ironic. Some of those names are just missing. And then the one that just made it in was David Wright, who I thought David Wright was a Mets Hall of Famer all day, every day. But the last 5-6 years of his career, he was made of glass. And he couldn't stay on the field. I loved watching David Wright, but I didn't know if you had the window to allow him to be voted in, but he snuck in there just at 6.2% to stay on the ballot for this coming year. So I don't know what you guys think of that name dropping I just did there, but there's some guys there that I would have thought would have gotten some consideration.
Bautista, really? They wouldn't, he's not in. Yeah.
Well, so, again, it's, Ken, you got to keep in mind, it's a very narrow, you know, and this speaks to not only the left coast, but this speaks to Toronto. This speaks to the fact that Toronto has always been considered to be a small market team. It is. Like, I mean, let's not split hairs. Toronto's not the biggest city in the world, but, you know, back then, especially like when they won those two World Series, people were like gobsmacked that this was going on. I mean, the assumption, be it right or wrong, is that, you know, Canadians are bad at baseball. So the, you know, it's the American game. Yeah, team in Toronto is just generally going to suck because they're from Toronto. And it's funny the way that that sort of narrative spoke for a long time. And then they won two and almost won a third and have come close in between. And so I think that, you know, in the last 10 years, the game has certainly got more global inside people's minds. But even to your point, Kenny, like, I mean, Bautista is not looked at as a superstar outside of a fairly small group of people, most of them Jays fans. Like, I don't foresee, like, his name is associated. Like, if you go down his stats and you go down all these other parts of it, I mean, he's up there, certainly with the best players of his time. He had some slow years. He had some bad years. But his good years are ridiculous. And people still don't consider him when we talk about players of that era as being one of those like elite guys.
Isn't he like MVP or something for a couple of years?
Yeah, that doesn't matter. I mean, we're talking about guys like, you know, like even a guy like Justin Morneau, or I'm going to probably bring him up again, or you know, guys who were MVPs and were winning batting championships, and they'd be at the All-Star game and they'd be like, we don't know much about Justin Morneau. And USBC, he played for the Twins his whole career. You're like, are you kidding me? Yes. Like the guy's tearing it up for the last 8 years in the American League, and you don't know who he is. Like, come on. It's the truth. Like, I mean, if you're not in those big major cities, and you know, if you're not playing for those big ticket teams, it's still like we were talking about, like it's super ironic. Like we were talking about Soler, right? Soler. We're keen on him. I know we all three think it'd be a great move for the Jays. Not a lot of guys know who this guy is. I've mentioned it to friends of mine and they're like, who? The guy was a World Series MVP a couple of years ago. Like, if you're not Otani or Trout or, you know, or any of the really, really, really big names, you're kind of lost in the sauce. And guys pop out and guys come up and you're like, oh, hey, who's that guy? And then he's gone in a day. And, you know, we sort of feel like the guys that we know, the Bichettes, the Vladdies, the guys who are on Springer, guys who are on the Jays that make a name for themselves with the Jays, we assume that if I was to go to Baltimore or Boston or Austin, Texas, or Philadelphia and sit down in a bar and be like, hey, let's talk about Bo Bichette, that people would understand what I'm saying. And most won't. Most would be like, who? I'm like, this is a shortstop for the Blue Jays. The Blue what? Like,
who?
Yeah. It's amazing to me, Ken, when I go down to the States and talk about very niche things like the Blue Jays. And It's nice to see guys like Vladdy, you know, bridge that gap. Like, everybody knows who Vladdy is. Vladdy. Yeah. He's, you know, when you have one name like
Sherry. I'm not in the show, Vladdy.
Yeah, right. And so, but no one knows who Kevin Gausman is, yet he's one of the best pitchers in the majors. Could challenge for a Cy Young this year. Go to
my bold pick.
Go to San Diego and say, hey, let's talk Gausman. They'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
you
hey, they only know him maybe because of throw-in from playing with the Giants for the one season.
Right.
That's literally the extent to it.
And so I think this is the hard part.
Yeah. So back to the Bautista thing, because this is predecessory for the later conversation about who's going with Blue Jays. One of the other criteria that a lot of these baseball writers look at is the window that they peaked in and where they stood in that time frame. This is how Roy Halladay got into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Is if you look at Roy Halladay's career stats versus a lot of Major League Baseball Hall of Famers, he's not even in the ballpark.
Nope.
But you look at what was a decade of dominance and obscene dominance by Roy Halladay in his tenure with the Blue Jays and the Phillies. That is why he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So I'm going to isolate the Jose Bautista part for you for a second. I'm looking at his stats right now on Baseball Reference for 2010 to 2017. So that is Blue Jays peak of Jose Bautista into the trail off, right? 272 career home runs in that frame, 204 doubles, 716 RBIs, 52 stolen bases,
see,
walks 745 times. So for every RBI he has more than a walk. And then bats 255 with a 377 or a 376 516 slug. That is, like I said, that right there to where you were talking about, Ken, that is a sample size of this was him obscenely leading the American League all those years. And two of those years were home run titles. He led the league in walks four times. He had top five MVP voting two of those 7 years and was an all-star 5 and 7.
Jesus.
That is the reason I don't care if he was voted in. I really don't. I think he deserved to be 5% of the vote to at least stay for a fighting chance for next year against what would be a little bit more stiff competition, but that's the next part of this talk. Wow. So, but you see what I'm talking about. There, in that time frame, there was no better home run hitter for that window than Jose Bautista.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just to throw some of the other names that are still on the ballot, like I said, David Wright, Torrey Hunter, who I love, but I'm wondering why he's still on the ballot when you got Bautista there, that same kind of thing. Francisco Rodriguez, also known as K-Rod, because he currently holds the Major League saves record for a single season, I believe, 52, something like that.
Wow.
Mark Burley, also a former Blue Jay. Andy Pettit, Jimmy Rollins, Bobby Abreu, former Blue Jay Omar Vizquel, Chase Utley, Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones, Gary Sheffield, who didn't make it in his 10th year, so he is not going to be on the ballot next year. Fell just short at 63.9%, and then Billy Wagner at 73.8%. So you would make a safe bet that Billy Wagner might get there next year. Yeah, but
I mean, it's so arbitrary. And, you know, it's like I said, do they need to make a second haul for, you know, not necessarily just for the guys that don't make it, but for the fact that there are a lot of people to try and consider. And some guys are going to get missed. And I mean, you know, I know it's very emotional and you watch these guys get their calls and all the rest of it. And there's certainly a few where you're like, geez, Louise, like, I just really can't see how that guy makes it in based on a number of different things. But it's like you said, Craig, like one of the most famous ones of all Hall of Fame histories is the what's his name? The guy who got into the Canadian Hall of Fame and he really only has the one goal against the Russians. Henderson, oh, Paul yes. Henderson. So Paul Henderson's in the Canadian or is in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He did not have a good hockey career, right? But he scored a very important goal in Canadian hockey history, in hockey history. And so he's in the hall. So, I mean, you know, it can be for one, you know, like you can make it in there for one thing where the writers or whoever's doing the voting think that's an important thing for you to get in there. But I do like the fact that baseball does include people's stuff. Like, you know, I know they've got, you know, they've got one of Vladdy's helmets and they've got some like from the home run derby, some other stuff that, you know, that's pretty cool stuff, but you're not on the wall, right? You're not in the hall. So,
correct.
You're, you know,
there's a difference.
A big difference.
Like I said, you know, stories there or not. You know, this is a this is a building that still has the story of Babe Ruth in the Baseball Hall of Fame area there. So it's crazy, but to that point, it is a big part of baseball history. But to that point, you're right, Jason. It's just, you could get that one thing, but then there's the flip side of that coin. You won't do one stupid thing and you still shouldn't be in. And I would say that this is where the argument is. People make the argument that Ricky Henderson did steroids. Okay, great, fine. He's in the Hall of Fame. He was also kind of a giant jerk to the media. Still in the Hall of Fame, which is usually
that's
one of the
understatement. By the way.
I love Ricky Henderson.
So do I.
I'm not even knocking that.
Same here. He's a J.
There's a reason that, yeah, exactly. He's one of the Blue Jays that is in the Hall of Fame. But then you look at this era of growing up collecting baseball cards and being a kid, being interested in the sport. David Ortiz makes the Hall of Fame, but he was caught once. And then you look at Alex Rodriguez is never going to get in the Hall of Fame. I don't care what anybody says. I don't think the voters will ever let him in because of all the suspensions and all that stuff. But then you have Manny Ramirez, all these other guys that are still on the ballot too.
Let's not split hairs here.
Bonds,
David Ortiz. Clemens, David Ortiz was not a great baseball player. He wasn't. He was not good in the field. He was not good as a defensive player, but he could hit. So, I mean, if that's your one trick pony, and I love Poppy, I've got nothing but time for the guy. I think he is what baseball is all about. Like that character. Brayus, all these guys who have so much character, that's part of the game, and that's what gets him in. That's the special sauce that puts Poppy in over a guy like A-Rod, who people can't stand, right? So the public can't stand
you. Maybe want to change the Blue Jays playoff game during the Twins, and that wasn't because we sucked against the Twins. I had to listen to him and Michael Kay here in the States.
So, you know, it's Manny, I mean, Manram probably does not deserve to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but he should be acknowledged as being one of the biggest characters the game's ever seen. Like, we're talking about a guy that mid-game doesn't call timeout and goes into the Monster to have a whiz and comes back out. There's no bathroom. There's a bathroom in the Monster you have to run. I've been in the Monster, in the Green Monster Boston. While the play's going, Ken, puts his glove down and runs to the thing. A pitch goes, and the camera goes out to left field, and he's not there. Comes running back onto the field, doing his pants up, and picks his glove up, and everyone's like, oh, man. Do you remember when he ran up the fence? And, oh, I mean, just so many. Like, I mean, like, if and that kind of stuff, sure.
Like, the guy's a human blooper and highlight reel at the same time.
At the same time. And that's why a guy like Jose Canseco might be able to do.
Yeah, Canseco didn't make any friends in the Writers Association either. I will tell you that. So I would guess I just found out his rookie card that I have sitting right over here in this box is worth about jack and or squat. And it's autographed by him, by the way. It's not, I literally had him sign it. I met him when I was a kid, and his hands with the World Series ring was like little, like pinky with my hand coming up to it.
Oh, wow.
So, but anyways. So, but you're not wrong. That's just how the Baseball Hall of Fame is. And I will give you this ridiculous stat. Amongst all the other Hall of Fames of pro sports, the Baseball Hall of Fame is 100% the most exclusive. This is not even a debate. There's people that make the Football Hall of Fame here in the States that, like I said, are great players for their team, but you wouldn't expect them to be making a Hall of Fame possibly. To that point, I think there's some dumb stat out of all the people in the world that play baseball. You know, only 5% make it to Major League Baseball. Of that 5%, 1% isn't even enough to make it to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oof.
So it's, like I said, you're talking the creme de la creme of all Hall of Fames, which is exactly to your point, Jason, why some of these guys get left out. Or the Jose Bautistas, you know, had the window of opportunity. But, that was 3 more years, it would be a sure thing. You know what I
For
mean?
Sure.
7 years.
Sure. And if a guy like
Bautista
doesn't make it into the hall, like I said, I mean, Jose Bautista to Jays fans and to, you know, some people, he's a hero. He did a great job. He seemed like a good dude. You know, like people would argue for him. His stats on total probably don't get him in. But if you take that concentrated portion of it and say, okay, we're going to make this the sample piece, then for sure he does. I mean, he was an animal. But, and it was the same with Poppy. Like, Poppy was terrible when he was a Twin. He was awful. In fact, they cut him. Like, I think Boston picked him up on waivers, right? Like, I mean,
wow. it was very similar to how we actually got Edwin Encarnacion.
Yes, right? Exactly the same.
Year Edwin Encarnacion broke out, we waived him.
Yes.
He was on another team for like 5 minutes, and then the Blue Jays are like, oh, how about a minor league contract? And he came back and then just raped.
Yeah.
But
it's bodies of work like that. Like you said, like if you've ever watched the Roy Halladay story, the one that they have on E60 or 30 and 30 or whatever it is, yep. He struggled when he was a Jay. I mean, he was a good pitcher and then he struggled to locate his spots and, you know, he had a couple of injuries and, you know, he was getting lit up a little bit. He was working on his craft and then he went to Philly and he was untouchable. And, you know, he couldn't have got there if he didn't slog it out with the Jays. And I love the fact that Blue Jays fans on whole have never given, you know, like he's not with us anymore, but never gave him a hard time about that. And there certainly are organizations that when you go there and the expectation is high and you don't quite perform to what they expect you to, and then you come back, you're not treated all that well. And that was not the case with him at all. The Jays fans loved that guy. They welcomed him back every time he came back. Even when he was stuffing it down their throats, he was like, they were like, hey,
that game.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's weird how, you know, and I see, you know, like I see professional athletes and I deal with a few that I know and some ex-pros and stuff like that. And I think to myself, bandwidth that a nice pro gets versus a guy that's a jerk is amazing. Like, you know, it's incredible to me that you look at like even the NHL, like the MLB right now has some really good characters, I think. They've got some guys that they can go to. They're always a pretty decent interview. They've got some character. They've got some flair. They've got some color, all of this stuff. And then you take Mike Trout, who's about the biggest wet fish you ever met in your entire life. And then Bo Bichette, who again, I mean, Bo Bichette could literally be sitting beside me right now and no one would know it. He could be screaming, yelling. It's just not him. Now, he could be a real ambassador for the league because obviously the ladies love him, right? I mean, you know, He's not going without phone numbers if he's going to the Cougar Bar in San Diego when the Jays hang there. And, you know, he's a really good athletic guy who has style. He has baseball style. Like kids want to imitate the pants he wears and how high he pulls his socks. And I mean, even George Springer sort of changing the way he looked to look more like Bichette, I feel like. So he's got panache. He's got the things that you do need. He just was never coached to be an entertainer, right? You've got guys like Poppy, who his whole career, he was probably a better entertainer than he was anything else. And he just happened to be able to mash, right? I mean, you can
not to mention the clutch hitting of Poppy was a big piece of that.
You can barely understand him when he's on Baseball Tonight or when he's on the cat. Who cares? I mean, he's having so much fun. He shows up with a big stogie, like all the jewels and like, I mean,
did you see the video what he did to Frank Thomas?
Yes, so good.
It was the playoffs, the World Series heading toward it, but the two of them are together on Fox Sports. So apparently, when Frank Thomas had his back turned, there is a clip of Poppy with his, you know, coffee mug or water jug or whatever the hell of Frank Thomas's pouring vodka into it. And then you see like 15, 20 minutes later on air, freaking Frank Thomas do a swig and then does this, what the hell did I just do? Goodness, and it was hysterical because he didn't break character or not.
No,
Frank had that, you know, stern, like ready to mash baseballs look on him. He's like,
Poppy.
Yeah,
but Ken, I got a weird story to tell you here in the midst of where Jason was going here with the Roy Halladay part. If I had to talk to you about who had the worst ERA in a Major League Baseball season, would you believe me that it was Roy Halladay?
Really? Roy? No way.
Roy Halladay has the worst single season ERA for a pitcher that has at least 50 innings on record in a Major League Baseball season.
What was
it? It was a 10.54 ERA. And that was in the year 2000. That was the year before they tore his arm down. He changed his whole mechanics and went back all the way to single A. So he literally went from being the worst pitcher in baseball in 2000.
Ever. Not just that year. Ever. To that.
Yeah, ever.
Wow. I thought you were going to say like...
Cy Young winner in 2003.
Jeez. I thought you were going to say Anthony Young from the New York Mets, I believe, a long time ago. He was like 0 for 12.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Or
Radicky.
Okay.
Love a good Radicky. That is on record. That is actually a Major League Baseball trivia fact. That's not just me being a smart ass. That is a 10.5 ERA for a qualified pitcher for the worst Major League ERA in a season ever.
Wasn't that the same as Mitch White's ERA this year?
Qualified would be the difference. To be a quote-unquote qualified person,
Mitch,
you had to have 50 innings. Yep. So, thank God Mitch White didn't pitch 50 innings this year. I hope he figures something out. Thank God he didn't do it last year. So,
it's interesting. Anyways. It's Craig. I was just looking while you were talking, and Kenny, I don't know. Like, so I didn't know this, but so there's been guys that have played on the Jays, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Am I right there, Craig, that there's 11 guys in the hall that have played for the Jays?
I believe you are correct, sir.
So now, how about this one? So there's some that I recognize, obviously. You know, McGriff, Roland, Holiday, Jack Morris, Bobby Cox.
There's two announcers and stuff you could say if you want to call it
13. Yeah, if you want to. Calamar, Henderson, Paul Molitor, Dave Winfield. And then here's the one that I had no idea.
Nobody gets.
Phil Niekro played for the Jays.
One season at the end of his career with the Blue Jays.
Wow. I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah. It was the year we were horrible after the drive for 85, 87.
Oh,
before we started coming back up. We were hoping they were going to be able to compete with somebody like him in the end of the rotation, and they didn't quite make it.
Wow. I was just reading down, and that blew my mind.
Yeah, but then the other two are baseball writer Bob Elliott, who I'm sure many of articles have been read by the collective here. And then obviously the late, great Tom Cheek, our announcer for everything. So those are the, like I said, the quote on 13 people. So to that point, those are the guys. And when you're looking at the list here, guys, you can't make an argument against any of those guys. Paul Molitor had 3,000 career hits. Bobby Cox is one of the most winningest managers in Major League Baseball history. And he got that in Toronto as far as how it started. He got the Blue Jays to the playoffs the first time in their history in 1985.
Yeah. So. He often references the fact that if he never became the manager of the Jays, he doesn't know that he would have had the career he had. He was stumbling along. He wasn't having a lot of success. He was on managed some teams that had some pretty darn good players and didn't perform. And, that always falls on the manager in baseball. Why would you ever put any kind of weight on a $30 million loser that, can't hit a baseball anymore? It's one of those things where I have nothing but time for a guy like Bobby Cox, honestly. Like class of the class. He's up there with Lasorda. And I mean, so many of those managers that were just so next level. Good.
Also, new Hall of Fame voting, Jim Leland. Same thing.
Great guy, Jim Leland. He used to smoke. Like 5 years ago, that guy was hacking butts in the dugout and people didn't know it. He had a little fan and a thing. And every now and again, they'd catch a waft of cigarette smoke coming out of the dugout. People were like, we can't smoke in the stadium. Where is that coming from? And Leland to be down there like.
Yeah, you can't take the old school out of a guy like Leland, just saying. No. To that point, I met him at one point in Cincinnati when he was actually, it was the year he actually led the Marlins to the World Series in 95. Yeah. So,
yeah.
It was, and to that point, he was a great guy. Me and my brother were trying to get autographs at the end of the game, and sure enough as hell, he was there, and he was like, what do you need, an autograph or something?
Yeah, very personable.
Hysterical, so.
Let me sign this back. Let me sign this back to Marlboro Reds for you.
Yeah. He was real happy that my brother and I both hand him over a Cincinnati Reds flyer or a program to get signed. It had Barry Larkin on the front of it. And he goes, and right over there.
To that point, did you guys watch? So funny. Obviously, the Super Bowl is coming up this weekend. And so they were trying to play tricks on certain guys at the Super Bowl thing. This was a couple of days ago. And so what they were doing is they were inserting the hat from like their rival school or another team that they either played for or don't like commonly. So like Brock Purdy gets handed a stack of hats and he's just like you do. And he's just signing and he's talking like this and signing and he doesn't even miss a beat. And I can't remember what the team is, but it's whoever his, it was the Seahawks. Seahawks, according to my son. And he goes to sign it and he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And he puts it over to the side like that and then just keeps firing on the Niners. That's so good. Like, I don't know if you guys have been watching. The shenanigans that are going on at the Super Bowl this year are off the chain in compare. And I get it. It's Vegas and it's Kelsey and it's Kittle and it's, it's got all of the stuff that you need for a great show at the start. But
It's
like that's super fun.
Yeah. So Christian McCaffrey got caught in one of those things that same thing you were talking about. Somebody came to like an autograph signing and had like his college alma mater's rival. I can't remember who it was. He slides it in underneath him and he looks at him. And he's like, really? That's what we're going to do here? So he signs it and he says, this team sucks. I'm glad I beat them. And he put like some ridiculous game that he had like 9 billion yards on, put all the stats on. So there's some one of a kind, like weird college football hat out there in the world with CMC's ridiculous game on it. Jeez. It's going to be a collector's item worth $1 billion at some point.
Good
stuff though. But that's all about fun. And so, like I said, let's talk about some other fun. Next year's Hall of Fame ballot has a couple of Blue Jays on it and probably one of the best hitters ever in Major League Baseball history. And so I got all those guys I told you that were the holdovers. Plus, you now have Brian McCann, Adam Jones, Russell Martin, Hanley Ramirez, Curtis Granderson, Ben Zobrist, Troy Tulowinski, Felix Hernandez, Ian Kinsler, Dustin Pedroia, CC Sabathia, and then here's the king. Ichiro Suzuki is on the ballot for the first time next year.
He's got to get in first. Out of that whole group, I think he's the only one. Maybe Pedroia gets a decent amount of run. I mean, you don't play your whole career in one place and play it as well as he did in Boston. Had a class act the whole way around. Have you ever heard the story? Sorry, as a total aside. So Poppy and Pedroia played together their entire, all of Dustin's career. They were at I can't remember what they were at like a preseason or at the something like that, and someone
fan festing or something, I think it was. Yeah, said, I don't remember.
Said to Dustin Pedroia, "Hey, Dustin." And Poppy said something to the effect of, "Like, who are you talking to?" And he's like, "Me, Dave. My name is Dustin." And he's like, "What?" So they'd played together for like 7 years, and he had never uttered the guy's first name and didn't know what it was. He just knew him as Pedroia. And like, it would, I mean, how many times did he watch it come up on the, that, you know, I didn't know Benicata, Dustin Pedroia. I mean, he had no idea what his name was for like 6 years of playing together. Like, just kills me, that guy. So good.
Oh, man. And how much of it's an act, but Pedroia was the one telling the story when you saw him, right? And he was like, just
so good.
This happened.
So good.
So, but to that point, you can't talk about baseball in the 2000s without somehow getting eventually to an Ichiro Suzuki, you know, story. This guy is still funny enough goofing around with baseball. And what was it? Beat a Japanese women's team single-handedly or something like that in the last year or something like that.
I'm 62 or something. 62, and yeah. I think he was at a high school in Japan hitting balls out into breaking windows on the school. It's a regular size stadium. It'd be a home run in a major league stadium. He pumps like three right into the windows. Like, come on. Do you guys know Ichiro's story? So when Ichiro was about 8 years old, his dad, I guess, was a pretty high level baseball player and he coached. And so what he said to him was, he said, "I'm going to make you play left-handed and then right-handed, and you're going to switch every year." And then so let's say he started righty. The next year he went to lefty, and he hit left and played left, hit right, played right. And then his dad made him switch. So he would play right and hit left and switch back and play left. He did that for his whole career up to his like 15, 16 years old, completely ambidextrous. You could put a glove on either hand. It's unbelievable. And that's why he was able to hit as well as he was, because he was trained to be able to see the ball from both sides of the dish so well. But just an amazing
athlete. That's a great story.
Yeah. Amazing guy. Cool. From everyone I know that's ever met him, talked to him, had anything to do with the guy. I mean, look at Ken Griffey Jr., how he raves about Ichiro. Like, I mean, you know, Griffey's one of those sort of weird guys that I don't feel like a ton of baseball players love him. He was pretty cocky and, you know, he was a big personality, and he'd speak so highly of Ichiro. The guy's a god. He's a baseball god. Yeah. He needs a statue up front. What's his physical stats? What is he, like 5'9", 170?
He wasn't like a big presence. He's wet. From like, you know, that muscular.
Soaking wet, holding a TV. Yeah. That's my favorite.
150 pounds, I'm guessing. 150 pounds. But
try to find it. I lost him. Where is he?
Hitting machine, man. Hitting machine.
Let me know when you guys, I've got breaking news if you guys want me to tap.
He's 5'11", 175.
5'11". Jeez Louise, that's little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mere 3,089 hits in Major League Baseball. And I think the crazier thing about that is he played a lot in Major League Baseball. You know, it was 19 seasons at the end.
Yeah. Oh, really?
This is a guy that played till he was 45 in Major League Baseball. It was still one of the better hitters. He hit 136 games in 2017 at his age 43 season. It was he batted 255, but he was still hitting the ball.
255.
That's the funny thing is, the only time his career batting average, I heard this crazy stat the other day about him when they were talking about him being in the ballot for this whole thing. In his first season, he had went on a tear for the week there when he debuted with the Mariners. And then he went on like for like an 0-for-15 stretch or something like that with a bunch of strikeouts. And everybody was starting to wonder if he was. That was the only time in his career his batting average dipped below 300.
Yeah.
His career batting average is a 311.
Insane.
Oh, crap. Sorry. Wow.
So that's unheard of. That's Ted Williams-ish.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jerry. You said
just to put that in perspective.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll hit the breaking news after we finish HOF stuff.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. To that point, I want to talk really quick. Blue Jays Hall of Famers that should be, could be, guys. Like, we just listed out the list here of who has made the Baseball Hall of Fame, but let me just throw these names out here because these are the WAR leaders in Blue Jays history. So that's the boiling it down to one number. These are the guys that led the Blue Jays in the top 24 guys. Dave Steeb, Roy Halladay, Jose Bautista. And this is in order of highest to lowest. Tony Fernandez, Carlos Delgado, Jimmy Key, Jesse Barfield, Vernon Wells, Pat Hankin, Lloyd Mosby, Edwin Encarnacion, Jim Clancy, John Olerud, Devon White, Alomar, George Bell, Juan Guzman, I thought was fun to be on this list. Alex Rios, Roger Clemens, Josh Donaldson, Fred McGriff, Ernie Witt, Shannon Stewart, and funny enough, Bo Bichette is number 24.
Wow, really?
Wow.
Well, so don't funny earlier. This is what I don't get about everybody getting on Bo because he's on this list of.
That's unbelievable.
Yes, he's got some more seasons than a few of these guys, but that's in the Blue Jay uniform. Right? So
I think
you look at those guys.
Yeah, if there's a few guys to target, I mean, Olerud is one for sure. Like John Olerud, for all intents and purposes, I mean, he just because of what he had to overcome and all of the rest, I mean, possibly the greatest swing ever in baseball history. I mean, it had no knocks. It was perfection every time and he was good in the field, good in the dugout, had a lot of really great seasons. Who else was up by the top? Vernon Wells, I like too. He had success a couple of different places.
But just to put that in perspective, most Hall of Famers are somewhere in the like 60 career WAR ballpark. Each row had exactly 60. John Olerud has a 58.2 career WAR in a position that is not known for good defense.
No.
So he's not getting a ton of defense on that number. It's offense pushing.
Yes, for sure.
I know those are and the funny thing that this is what the boiling it down to cold calculated math kills me. Because you just boil that down to John Olerud equals Ichiro Suzuki. And nobody questions that Ichiro Suzuki is a first ballot, maybe a unanimous 100% vote for next year. That's only happened once, and it was Mariano Rivera, by the way. That's the thing that boggles me. Who voted for Ken Griffey Jr. not to get in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I know. I listened to a thing about that where there's just some guys that just feel like they have to spoil a ballot just because they're jackweeds. Anyways, let's even just talk
about the 10 votes. If you want somebody to stay on the ballot in a year, a Griffey's on there, maybe you know he's going to get in and you move it to somebody else, right?
Yeah. I mean, let's just talk about, and I, you know, like this guy could possibly be my favorite. This guy could be my favorite Jay of all time, Tony Fernandez. I mean, he was so good. Like I put him at the same level like an Ozzie Smith changed the game. Guys who played a position differently than anyone had played it before and start to set new levels of that. I think Corbin Carroll steps into that sort of, he's now learning how to play the outfield different than guys played it. He's so fast and he's so strong and he gets the ball so easily. You're just like, oh, so he doesn't have to shift because he can run 95 feet and catch that ball without worrying about it. Right. Yeah. It's when you change a position, you know, and the game starts to reflect that around you, then you should probably be in the Hall. It's like you guys were saying, like if Tony Fernandez was on the next ballot, most of the baseball world would be like, who? Like, who's that guy? Oh, wait.
Played in St. Louis, like Oz.
Right. Or New York, or, you know, it's amazing when you take a look at some of these guys' numbers. Like, even Delgado and Bautista, both of them, like, Carlos Delgado is an incredible baseball player.
Yeah. Phenomenal. I remember him.
That one there is me is insulting. Because Delgado is. You talk about home run hitters, period, in that era that did it the right way, the same time as Fred McGriff and all these things. Delgado is insane when you look at his numbers. And I just don't know how you make the argument against it.
I
got 473 career home runs. How is that a Hall of Fame contract? And he batted 280 doing it. And I think the crazier thing is everybody forgets that. The reason he didn't win the MVP in 2003 is because Alex Rodriguez was on roids.
Yeah. It's so true.
And he had 145 RBIs that year and 42 home runs.
And he still didn't win it.
Second A-Rod runner
was
up
pretty good when he was on Slugger. The juice, though.
Yeah. I'm not knocking that. I understand.
Juice Roid,
genius, but that dumb Texas Rangers contract still irks me because I thought the Blue, regardless that we missed the playoffs this year, I was like, in 03, doesn't matter. We're going to have the MVP. We're going to have the Cy Young and Roy Halladay. There's no questions here. And then A-Rod gets that. And I'm like, what the? So, but 'tis what it is. But that one is just criminal to me. And that's where the chance is and where I was hinting at earlier, the loophole. They have this thing called the Veterans Committee now that votes on certain people for an era of baseball. And I'm confident, seeing they've been getting other people in lately. I think Fred McGriff was the most recent one on that committee.
He was one of those.
Yeah. Harold Baines was one of them. There's these guys that, like I said, it's voted on by the players. That's the difference. So somebody's going to look at that year in those spans where Carlos Delgado did nothing but Delgado. And
I feel like Andrew Jones. I feel like Andrew Jones is eventually going to be one of those guys. I feel like he's going to get left off the ballot. I don't know why the writers don't put him in. Again, Andrew Jones was a guy who changed baseball for me. Watching Andrew Jones is like watching an alien play baseball. He was out of this world. He was unbelievable. He was so good. And it was so frustrating because he was on the Braves, and the Braves were so good. And Andrew Jones made everything look easy. Everything. Effortless. And I don't know what his career numbers are. I imagine they're phenomenal.
They're good.
But he altered baseball. He altered how people play baseball. And when you do that, like, let's just take right now. I mean, obviously, we're not even going to talk about the fact that we've got a few guys that are playing now that are just going to walk right in. Like, I mean, you know, Otani's going to walk right in. I assume Mike Trout will walk right in. And here's one that I think is interesting. And hopefully we're all still doing this when this person goes into the Hall of Fame. I think Aaron Judge goes in as well. And the reason I think Aaron Judge goes in is because Aaron Judge has changed the way that hitters hit. Now, he's taken pieces from a lot of people to make that happen. But what he did a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, is unprecedented. And the fact that pitchers still kept trying to beat him, and he was like, not good enough today, not good enough today, not good enough today. You know, I feel like even though he's a Yankee, he still probably gets in because he altered the way that the game had to be played. They can't walk him. And that's what's starting to happen in the league is the players are so good. You can't walk to get around a guy. And if Aaron Judge is so good, if the zone is so big and he's so good, he's altering the game then in a different way. And so that deserves special recognition, not his bat in the Hall of Fame. His face needs to be on the wall. So when little kids walk in there and they're like, "Dad, who was that?" They're like, "He was one of the greatest home run hitters to ever play baseball."
That's what it comes down to. And to that point, this is where the last guy I want to touch on here. And then we'll stop this and go to your breaking news. How is Dave Steeb not in one of these?
Let's not.
I don't know.
That's a whole show.
Yeah.
That might be a whole show.
That's a whole show. Somebody did that. Dave Steeb is another guy that I got nothing but time for. I've watched a lot of interviews with him. And what Dave Steeb did was he changed a team. He changed the Blue Jays into a respectable, threatening team when they weren't. And Dave Steeb did it with class, with quality pitching, and lots of pitching. Dave Steeb pitched a lot. Like those guys back there, we see guys going 2 and 3, you know, and they're, we got pitch manage. We're talking about animals that threw 130 pitches a game and then pitched in the doubleheader. It was a different way to play baseball back then. And for a guy to be as influential as he was on the Blue Jays, again, it doesn't matter if they're the Blue Jays, you know, the Mockingbird.
Until he was 32, he led the league in all sorts of categories.
Yeah.
Through that.
32.
And the one that sticks out to me is he led the major leagues in innings pitched, to your point, twice, Jason.
It was a machine.
And just wrap your head around this because nobody does this anymore. In 1982, 288.1 innings. The year after that, 278. The year after that, 267 was a down year.
down year.
This guy 66. Threw over 200 innings in every year except for the one that was shortened by a lockout.
Huge. Crazy.
So
nuts. Oh my God. But, you know, and like I said,
it was dominant that time too.
Different times, you know, like, and when you yes. look at, even when you like, as much as people say, like the Maguire Sosa, they, you know, they say that home run derby was the home run chase was tainted. I mean, they're still using some of the lowest quality products you could possibly use to try and hit a baseball 500 feet. You know, and you go back even mm-hmm. further to some of the best home run hitters from the 30s, 40s, 50s, like Jackie Robinson doing the stuff he did back then with the equipment they had it's idiotic. Like,
yeah.
You know, for even for him to be able to run at the speed he could run in and not tear right out of those leather shoes, it's mind blowing. And so,
not to mention all the injuries and being spiked every 5 minutes and all the other horrible things that they did to Jackie. But so,
yes.
But to that point, that's the game of baseball. It's been evolving for years and it will continue to evolve. So, but anyway, Jason, I don't want to take away for it. I still want to have time for our fun ending. So give me the breaking news that you saw.
It is the drop on me.
All right, here we go. So this just in, free agent reliever Jay Jackson and the Minnesota Twins are in agreement on a major league contract pending a physical, according to a source, familiar to the deal.
Mm. Yeah. There Jay Jackson. But to that point, that's my one hurt thing for what they did with signing, Yayrod.
Yayrod.
I was wondering that news that Jay Jackson was going to go to some other team. To that point, I'm happy it's Minnesota. They'll use him. Be in that.
Jay Jackson, we love you, but
that team wonderfully. So I wish you all the best.
Us Jay too. Jackson. Yep. Hats off. Hats off. If you ever want to come on the show, Jay, we got nothing but time for you, buddy. Great guy.
So, yeah, had the pleasure of meeting him at that event that the walk-off guys did up in Toronto. Was a really class act guy, and to that point had some of the best baseball stories that I've heard in a long time, including all the bullpen shenanigans. So I would highly recommend checking out that episode of the walk-off if you want to hear those stories, because it was priceless. His mantra was, you don't want to know. You don't want to know what we do in the bullpen.
You don't want to know.
And you think you know.
But you don't want to know.
But you have no idea.
You don't want to know.
So, well, too much that sucks. But at that point, like I said, I wish nothing but good things for Jay Jackson.
Absolutely.
So, Jason, last week you and I started some goofing around here. Do we want to end the show like we did last week and get Kenny in here?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, Ken, last week I pulled a random baseball blooper out of my, wonderful world of the internet.
Thanks.
So, and then we just had a quick chat with it, but I found a Blue Jays one that I think is going to be very funny. And the mantra of this is, did you know that you could steal the same base twice on the same play?
What?
I think somebody knows where I'm going here. So let me cue this up here and get this shared up, and you will see what the hell I mean here at the expense of our friend Lloyd Bosby.
Yep. Oh, no.
Poor Lloyd. So thank you, MLB.com, for having the best archive that you can humanly possibly have of baseball bloopers. But here is, like I said, former Blue Jay and member of excellence level, I remember Lloyd Mosby trying to steal second base twice on the same play.
Shaker Mo.
There it is. So steals it. No problem. Ball goes over him. But for some reason, somebody dupes him to thinking that the ball was caught and he was actually in a pickle. Then the ball goes back to first base. And there you go.
Same base twice.
He's like, somebody help me here. Like, I'm doing the running. You got to tell me what I'm doing here.
He's laughing about it. Chick, everybody dying laughing. It's like, he didn't say it's to your point. What do you teach the kids? Look at your base code.
Right? Two stolen bases. I guess it'd be three, technically, because there's one. He stole that one.
Then he had steals to come back to first base. Like I said, somebody freaked him out to the point where he, for some reason, thought the ball was in play right there and he had to hurry up and get a pickle. Or the ball got caught and hit was, I think, the only other thing.
I'm going to give you this coach signing in Lent.
That's so good. It's so. Exactly. There's what we're
Baker Mo.
Oh, man.
But can I just point out the physical stress that was first off? So he's clearly freaking out, and now what's going on? And you see the relief now that he's safe at second. But mentally freaking out faster than all hell, and still manages to get back to where he needed to go and did everything he could.
Uncanny. That's
insane athleticism, I think, to be able to run back and forth like that, that quickly. And Lloyd Mosby was a hell of a fast player, too. So that was very cool. And obviously that being right when they moved into the Rogers Center. So then Skydome.
That's Skydome.
So you guys ever seen anything like that? I know it sounds like Jason, you have. Ken, what are you thinking right now?
Wow. I never would have thought that I've ever seen something like that before. Stealing the same base twice on the same play.
Yeah. I will say this. I have seen this, and I've seen it more than once. And I all credit due to my son, Jet, who has a very beautiful baseball mind. He was on second base. I was the head coach, so I'm at third base. I called for a steal to third, and he looked at me like this. And then we had a sign for an extra base, and he was taking home from second. He realized that the catcher is throwing the ball back so slowly to the pitcher that if he just ran, by the time the pitcher got it, his first reaction would be to throw it to three, which is behind it. And it couldn't have happened more perfectly. He ran right around three, pitcher caught it, had no idea what to do, threw it to three, he's just walked home. It's stuff like that. And I mean, even when Dela Cruz stealing first, second, third, and then home. If you guys go back and watch that clip, watch him steal home. He's standing on three, he gets up and he's brushing himself off, and the entire time he's watching the catcher. He's kind of darting like this, and he's watching. And as soon as that catcher stands up like this and goes like that to lob it, he's already gone. Like, he can see that catcher's given up on that play before even. And I mean, that's what beautiful baseball mind is to me. You know, like,
wow.
Even the stuff with Vladdy faking the overthrow at first base and you know, catching the ball and tagging the guy out.
I remember.
There's a really classic one. I believe it was, it's a university game. It's like Vanderbilt versus somebody else from like the 70s. And the winning run is at first base, two outs. And they call this play, pitcher set, goes, you know, throws to first base. The first baseman panics. He does like a big, he's all over the place. The dugout's out and yelling like, you know, ball's in the corner.
You're a little big league in it.
The fielder's running over. So the runner stands up. He looks. He takes off for second base. Happy as a, just like this. And the pitcher's still got the ball and he just lobs it to second base. And they just tag him out like that. And he's like, you know, and they had everybody. But that's the beautiful, like, a hidden ball trick is the most romantic. You can't do that in any other sport. You can't hide the basketball behind your back and then
pull out a few of those for next week.
Yeah,
you know, it's amazing. So to amazing. That point, have you seen the movie Little Big League, which is one of the, we were talking about underrated things this evening. Little Big League is one of the most underrated baseball movies of all time, in my opinion.
Never seen it.
And they pull that bit, and it's a kid takes over the Minnesota Twins and he ends up managing the club.
It's hilarious.
The guys there in this,
I have seen
the guys in it. It's got Ken Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson. Yeah. It's got some big leaguers in it too. So it was pretty fun. So I would highly recommend that for especially the kids. You'll die laughing. So, but I do have another one that I got to show you here because this dawned on me in the midst of this whole fun here. Does anybody do you remember this one with Ruben Rivera forgetting what base was running and how he was out and who's not out? And this is the end of game. Oh, come on, load.
Wasn't there one this year where that happened where somebody stole third, somebody took off for third and they pitched the ball out and threw it to third and tagged the guy and the runner that was at third and they were both out?
We're just going to get some horrible advertising here. Sorry, guys. There you go. So okay. The best part about this is John Miller is doing the play-by-play. So it goes into no man's land out in San Francisco, and Ruben Rivera forgets where he's going, misses the bag, goes seesawing around, ball comes in, he should have been dead to rights right there. Oh, ball got away, I'm gonna run home, and he gets tagged out at home. Got a little confused there around the base and was kind of like playing hippity hop, going, which way do I go, which way do I go?
Oh man.
So caught the pickle himself, my friends.
There's also a really classic one. I'll let you guys, I got to get going, but I'll let you guys. There's a really classic one in a college game where the ball was hit to right. So, I mean, there's not a lot, you know, if this is the winning run's on first base. Ball's hit to right field and it's deep and it's in the corner. And the guy who's running from first base just skips second and third and runs into home. And they're like, he's like, safe. And there's no replay. There's no way to go back. Nobody saw it. Everyone was looking out in the field. And this guy was smart enough as he was running to look and see that both umpires were looking that way. And he just U-turned.
Wow. The stories behind the ball at winning the thing. So, but we'll bring up more on the end of the show here so we can end on a high note every week. Always end with a joke. That's stand-up rule number one, right?
Absolutely.
So anything you guys want to add before we go off here? Let Jason go where he's going.
Good deal. Baseball right. Tags.
Blue Jays fans, make sure you join us there every Monday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time. We will be here with you to have as much fun as humanly possible here on Jay Bird Watching. If you miss us during the live show and you don't get to chat with us, make sure you hit us up on social media wherever you can at BirdWatchingGC. And obviously, this is a podcast. We're everywhere you can humanly possibly get your podcasting pleasures from. So make sure you listen in, join us, and we will see you next time on Jay Bird Watching. Ready, boys? 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.
Go, Jays, go.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining us to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdWatchingGC. Go, Jays, go.
Woo!
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.